to talk about our mindset, especially as we enter Thanksgiving week in Philippians chapter 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. If we could just transfer our energy, right, from all that's spent on worrying to spending it on thanking the Lord and trusting Him in prayer. Amen? Tell God what you need. So many times we just assume it's going to be handed to us because we breathe air. No, He wants to be asked. We are to approach Him. Tell God what you need and what? Thank Him for all He has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Father, it's so easy in this negative world to default in the complaint and expressions that aren't pleasing to you. Help us to take the admonishment of this passage we just read and to change our thinking patterns and fix our thoughts on what's true and honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. We thank you for illumination today that transforms us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our attitude is taking us somewhere. Something about a heart of thanksgiving that changes our attitude. We need to be thankful people, not just once a year or 1 week a year, but every single day of the year. When we open our mouths and give thanks in all things, God will help us in every test that we have to face. The truth is, we are critical and we are negative by nature. That's the way we came into the world. It seems that you might believe God for a miracle of intervention or for assistance, for a dream to come to pass, and then you receive that, and then you begin to wish for something a little bit better, a little bit of an improvement. You want something fresh and new in your life because you get bored just a few months into the blessing God has provided you, and then you're looking for something else. If we're not careful, we'll become like the children of Israel. If we're not careful, we'll become ungrateful for all the good things that God provides for us every single minute of every day. Unless we change our attitude about the things we're going through, unless we change our attitude, we're going to miss out on the blessings that God has for us. It's easy to keep a good attitude when everything's going well, right? The challenge is to keep a good attitude when it's not working out the way you planned for it to work out. Life never seems to live up to our expectations. That's why Paul said, set your affections on things above rather than on things of this earth. If we're not careful, we become very self-centered. I want this. I want that. I expect this to go my way. It's all about me, self-centeredness. And if we're not careful, we miss out on what God has for us, but not by not having a heart of thanksgiving. God said, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about things that you have to go through. Whatever you're going through, Paul said, put on a heart of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Stay faithful. Don't be afraid. Stay true. God will work matters out. So if you ever get hold of this understanding principle of thanksgiving, it changes our direction. You see, thankfulness helps us to think thoughts that are pleasing to God. I'm speaking about worshiping God even when we're in wilderness moments. Anybody can worship God when we enter the promised land. God wants to know if we're going to worship Him when we walk through the deserts of life. God wants you to have a good report, even when it's not a good one. A thermometer tells you the temperature of what's happening in any certain environment, whether it's with your child, a roast in the oven, or a turkey for that matter this week, right? Or the temperature in the room. The thermostat tells us what's going on, and your attitude tells you what's going on inside of you. Life doesn't always work out the way we planned it. And there's a principle in the kingdom of God that says, if you want to go into the promises that God has for you. If you want to be healed, let's make it practical. If you want God to bless you financially, if you need that breakthrough, believe that, yes, but you have to change your attitude. Even though you're going through stuff you don't want to go through, we have to believe that in His time, He's working it all for our good. Anybody can thank God when everything is beautiful. God wants us to have a thankful heart when it's not going well, because it's an attitude of faith that says, I'm thankful. When you complain about what you're going through, it's an attitude of doubt and unbelief. When you put on a heart of thanksgiving, whether it's working out in the way you've designed it to, in the way you've hoped for it, what you're saying is, Lord, I've got a good attitude because this is not about me. This is about You, and I believe You're working everything for my good. So no matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, all of us have a great deal to be thankful for. Just the fact that you're on your way to heaven and not going to hell is enough to get up with a thankful heart. Because there are millions of people on this planet who would love to have the house you live in, or even live in the apartment that you're granted to live in. We've got so much to be thankful for in our lives, but it's not easy to have a thankful heart when you ride the bus because there's no car. When you have to sit at the bus stop in the rain. You see, the Lord sends rain and dry seasons. What God wants us to do is change our attitude. Tell somebody near you, it's about attitude. Tell them it's about attitude. Man. The wilderness is God's pathway. Sometimes we don't look at it like that. We want to get out of it, but it's God's pathway. God brought you out of Egypt and not directly to the promised land. He brought us out of Egypt through the wilderness, because it's in the wilderness He teaches us to change what we're saying. It's in the wilderness He teaches us to better change our confession, or we'll never enter the promises of God. It's in the wilderness we learn to tithe so we can enter the promises of God. Anybody here want all the promises of God? Well, that's a fundamental to learn. I want God's promises. I want His blessings, but I don't want to do what He asks. Well, it doesn't work like that in His kingdom. It's in the wilderness He reforms us and changes us. He crushes us and remakes us and rebuilds us over and over, rebuilding us. And we're never going to get out of the wilderness until we quit being negative. You don't have to like what you're going through, but let's change our attitude when we have to. This hurts somebody, but it's going to help you today before the day's over. Your attitude is going to take you somewhere. It could be the good things of God or a continuation of the wilderness. Your attitude will cause you to climb higher than where you were before, or your attitude will drag you down into the pits. It's rarely the circumstances of life that dictate whether we succeed or fail. It's our attitude that determines whether we succeed or fail. You either climb higher because of your attitude, or you get stalled out in the wilderness. So where is your attitude taking you? Attitude is usually what makes the difference between success and failure. And you're very close. You're always right on the brink. Your attitude determines whether you cross over or you remain. Well, you're just that close. Your attitude makes all the difference. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. We've got to pray about it. Put on a heart of thanksgiving, because it's attitude. Well, let me say it this way. If there's ever a place you're going to get hurt, it's going to be among people in the community of faith. Isn't it amazing? You can get hurt at Popeyes, and it doesn't stop you from going back. You might mutter at them after you've passed through the drive-thru without some of the things you ordered, but you're still going to go back, right? And if you're ever going to get somewhere, it's going to be because you planted yourself securely in the church. And when you get hurt, and you will sometimes, when you get hurt, just don't bleed all over everybody because you got hurt. Go to Jesus. He knows how to stop the bleeding. Show yourself to the Lord. He heals every wound we have in our lives. So what do? We should put on a heart of thanksgiving. You tell your neighbor it's going to be all right. Put on a heart of thanksgiving and stop worrying about it. Well, we tend to be warriors. Some of you were born worried, right? God has a solution for you. Change your attitude. Have thanksgiving. Things don't look good, but have enough faith to say thank you no matter what you're going through. It's gratitude, because our attitude is going to land us at a destination. And if we really believe that God's in charge of our lives, then we believe that he's working out some stuff that needs to get worked out in us. He's working out things in us that need to change. And if you believe Father loves you and knows what's best for you, you'll trust him with all of your heart. Now, if I can help you to change your attitude today, your whole life is going to change. If weapons have been formed against you and your attitude is, I can't believe all of this is happening to me. I'm such a victim. Things always turn the wrong way. If I can help you change your attitude to, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If you can change your attitude, your entire life will change. So when you understand the sovereignty of God, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. Everything that's been created was created by him. He sustains it. He knows every one of us by name, our DNA, our uniqueness, how many hairs are left on our heads. He knows everything about us. Before we were born, he wrote the book of our lives. He knows us from the end to the beginning, knows how it's all going to wind up, how we started, how we're going to finish. And he's never overwhelmed when we come to him. We don't have to get in line and wonder, will I ever get there before the sun goes down? And he can hear my request. He can hear all of our requests at the same time and process them as if we were the only one before him at that very moment. We've got a God way beyond our capability at times of comprehending in his magnificent greatness. He handles it all at one time without confusion, without fog, without making a mistake. So once in a while, when things don't work out the way we want them to, sometimes God has to pull some people out of our lives because they're not helping us. They're only adding to our conflict. If God sends the rain, then you must believe it's rain that you need. If God sends a storm, then you have to believe that that's working for my good. Oh, Lord, help us in here today. Amen? Come on. If an earthquake shakes your life, you have to believe that God will work in the middle of that mess. So what I'm saying to you is, no matter what you go through, stop believing the worst, because your attitude is going to land you in one place or another. If someone you love has been pulled away from your life, believe it's for a reason. God knows something we don't know. So we get to choose our attitude. Say, I'm going to change my attitude. You'll need the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God to do that, right? You understand that faith and attitude are related? Understand that faith and attitude are brother and sister? Faith and attitude are synonymous? You see, thanksgiving, I give that to God even when things are not good, and that's faith. I give God gratitude even when things appear not to be good, because I love the Lord and I can trust him. That's faith. Stop being upset when someone's walked away. You have to believe that our steps have been ordered by the Lord. I'm changing my attitude. In other words, we have to believe that Jesus Christ will triumph in everything of our lives. Even when it doesn't look like it's working out, we have to believe there's triumph for us, because my attitude determines my altitude. If a business partner walks away, believe it's a part of the plan of God. So no matter who walks out, believe God's got someone better to replace them. As long as we keep your faith in the Lord, listen, and we keep a good attitude, he'll bring us through our trouble. Just like God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he'll bring us out as well. Let's pretend for a minute you're an airline pilot. You're flying your plane. You ever think about that? That kind of daydream? And you wish you could be a pilot. You could fly up above the clouds. You know, you could be soaring at 500 miles an hour. Yeah. I just saw that they just created this amazing little aircraft that can carry about 30 people, and it flies just under the speed of sound, and it flies at altitudes that enable it to get anywhere in the world on one fuel up. I mean, it's amazing. And just put yourself, you know, in the cockpit of a plane like that and just soar, just fantastic. On the dashboard is an altitude indicator. Then there's an attitude indicator. It tells you if you're rising, and if you are, you're destined to reach exactly where you need to be for cruising speed. If that attitude indicator begins to show you that the nose of the plane is beginning to drop, you need to make course correction, because if you don't, you're going to stall and crash. So you're flying along, and all of a sudden a storm comes up, and wind gusts and shears. You didn't have much warning, and the attitude indicator starts to point down. How many know when your attitude is bad, sometimes you don't even realize it? It's just pointing down. You better look at the indicator, because if you don't, you're going to crash, and you better make a correction.
Pull up.
Some of you need to pull up, right? You're flying your bad self in your plane. You need to watch the attitude indicator, not just assume everything is perfect and fly level. All of a sudden, the wind shear hits out of nowhere. You didn't know it was coming. And listen, if you're not prepared to handle that aircraft, you're flying along and that indicator all of a sudden tells you you're ready to crash. And unfortunately, if you don't pay attention and you haven't practiced and you don't know how to respond properly, you may crash. Thank God we can survive the crash. We can get out of that and learn from what mistakes we've just made, so we don't continue to fly in the wrong direction with our nose down all the time. The point is, if we're not careful, our attitude will cause us to crash and burn. And if you've crashed in the past because of a bad attitude, learn from the mistakes and don't repeat them again. The Lord wants us to grow to the place where where you look at trouble and you believe the best instead of the worst. He wants you to believe he's so large, he can use even your enemies to push you to the top. Tell your neighbor, stop believing the worst. Amen? Tell them. It's easy to do that. I remember getting reports that told me some negative things. I remember when they were doing a cath on me, and I was semi-awake for most of it, and I could feel every probe going in. It was kind of interesting. I thought, wow, this is kind of fun. And it was. And people were talking about going to a wine tasting. And because I told the doc afterwards, I said, so they're going to go to the wine tasting? He said, you heard that? I said, yeah, I heard that. And so he looked at me and he goes, you're not leaving the hospital. You will not leave this hospital. He says, you're going to have surgery immediately. And I looked at him and I just kind of smiled. And instead of believing the worst, I believed the best. And here I am. Guess what? I didn't have that surgery because God had a different plan, right? Listen, if you're tired of leftovers, you have to change your attitude. If you're tired of not making it, you got to change your attitude. Even though you might be going through difficulty, God says, stop believing the worst. Even though you've had losses, stop believing the worst. Even though the evidence says you're not going to survive this, stop believing the worst. Because realistically, everything we're going through is a training ground for where God's taking us. Attitude will take you up or it'll take you down. Attitude will take you to victory, or it will take you to your defeat. And your attitude right now makes a difference as to what direction you're going in. And if you love the Lord, you have to believe that God is in control of your life. God says he's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Do you know what that means? Even when you're surrounded by depressing news, but God has a banquet table ready for us. My goodness, you're surrounded by loneliness, but we are thankful to God for godly friends, by darkness, but we change our attitude. If it weren't for your enemies, you may have not even come to the Lord. Now listen, if it wasn't for those who hurt you, you may have never been driven to God to ask him for help. Because watch this, even though it was never God's will for you to suffer some abuse, it's because you were abused. You ran to Jesus Christ in the first place. So if that tragedy had not happened, you might not be where you are today. Thank God for my enemies. And you and I both know that all of that trouble has made us better people. It made us more loving. It made us more caring, more sympathetic and empathetic. All the pain we've been through in life makes us better people. And I want to say it this way, God is keeping track of what the devil has done to you. He's keeping track of what hell has put you through. He has a list, and God will make it up to each of us if we'll change our attitude, say, he's going to make it up to me. Amen? He said, I'll restore the years that the swarming locusts and the cankerworms stole from you. I'll restore all because we're changing our attitude to gratitude, thanksgiving. Three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And the most powerful king on the planet, Nebuchadnezzar, has just threatened them. And in fact, then has them thrown into this smelting furnace, heated seven times hotter. And their response to him when he's about to do that is, so be it, king. Kill us if you want to. He said, I will kill you if you don't bow. If it be so. What an attitude. Kill us. If it be so. That's attitude. They trusted God. Our God's able to deliver us. And the reason things have heated up in your life is because you took a stand for the Lord. But it's never over until God says it's over. Didn't God give you a word? Didn't God give you a word based about the situation with your children? Didn't God give you a word about your finances? God gave us a word. Hang on to that word. And with the right attitude, trust God. It's interesting. God didn't blow up that smelting furnace. He didn't demo it. No. In typical charismatic theology, I command the furnace to blow up before they throw me in. I command the angels to tear it apart while I'm there. In Jesus' name. Well, what did God do? He stepped into the fire with them. He prepared a table before them in the presence of their enemies. Well, I don't like working where I'm working. There's not one born-again believer here. I'm surrounded by evil. But God prepared a table. God's ordering your steps. He's watching over you. He's going to work everything out. If you love the Lord, you can bet the enemy is going to bring resistance into your life. If you love the Lord, you can believe the enemy is doing everything possible to stop you. The mere fact that you've been attacked is proof you're going somewhere with God. Because the enemy doesn't attack anybody unless they're a threat to his kingdom. And after all the hell I've been through, I'm going somewhere. Amen. And it seems as though, you know, you love the Lord, and some people set themselves against you, and even the people that should love you the most start having a problem with you, people you thought would never leave you. So don't get too attached to people, because some people go off the rails in life. One minute they're for you, the next minute they're not. One minute they act like they're serving God, the next minute they're out serving the devil. So don't get too attached. Get your eyes off of people. Get them on the Lord. Be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. Sometimes people are with you for a long time. Sometimes they're with you for a season. You're not in charge of that. But you trust God no matter what you go through. You're serving the Lord. no obstacles are going to happen. People walk away. People speak about you behind your back. That's simply because they have a wilderness mentality they have not yet overcome. But you don't have to go there. If you're serving the Lord, you've got to believe everything is going to turn around and end up for good. So no matter what it looks like today, whatever's happening, know this, it's going to pass. Nevertheless, God's in charge. And you've got to do is just hang in there a little longer. God's already got the answer all figured out. Victory's already sent in your direction. In the meantime, align your attitude with what God's promised you. You're closer to your victory than you think you are. So I've come to church today with a word to help you enter Thanksgiving week. If you only knew how close you really were, you would change your attitude because it's only a matter of time before God works every issue out. I wonder how many people are at a low point in your life today. Hold on to the Lord, because when you're in that moment, when you're at the bottom, when it looks like all's going to be lost, that's when God turns the tide. Always. You heard me tell you, he loves 11:59 on the clock. It's one of his favorite times. He just loves appearing at that time. That's how God works. And then he always ends up giving you double for the trouble you've endured. If you keep a good attitude, keep trusting him. So no matter what the enemy has thrown at you, don't you ever give up, because you're closer than you think you are. If you only knew how close you were, if you only knew how close to the breakthrough, to the healing, to seeing your children come back to Jesus. It's always darkest just before the dawn. And you can't always go by what you see when you're walking by faith. Even if you think everyone's against you, they're not. Your mind might tell you everyone's against you. That devil is a liar. Even if everyone was against you, they're not. And even if they were, if God be for me, who can be against me? So you make up your mind, no matter what, I'm not going to quit. Say, I will never give up. And the person who refuses to quit is the person who usually wins. You recall the story of the woman in Scripture where Jesus is talking about her having to go before a judge. The judge doesn't like this woman, but because she's persistent. Yep. It's a picture that reveals to us if we're persistent, right? One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. To do what? Always what? So many people do that last. Well, I guess I got nothing left to do but pray. No, you should start at that the minute the news hit, right? Always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. Okay? So I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? Oh, boy. Because faith is an attitude of gratitude. It's thanksgiving. It says, I know you're going to come through for me. If you've got faith in the Lord today, then persistence is one of your greatest assets. Your attitude is one of your greatest assets, and persistence keeps you going every single day. You don't have to have a lot of faith to move mountains. You just have to be persistent. God expects us to be strong in him, in the power of his might, to hold on, to not quit, to be more than conqueror, not quitting, because life is going to get rough some weeks. My friend Jay Redmond wounded warrior from Iraq, Navy SEAL. He wrote this the other day, and I gave him a big thumbs up for it. He said, "It's a fact. We dream, we grind, we hustle, we spend massive amounts of time planning, and suddenly it doesn't happen. And then I watch teams falter, motivation plummet, and morale begins to waver. Stop thinking it will be easy. In the military, we have a saying, no plan survives first contact, which means that the best plan will change the first time you encounter and fight the enemy." And by the way, let me insert this. Just whenever you think God's about to give you something great, you can expect the enemy to show up. He's not going to roll over and go, "Oh, just take it. It's all for you." He's going to start fighting you. And Jason goes on to say, no matter how good your plan is, the enemy always gets a vote. Life is no difference. The market gets a vote. Your competition gets a vote, right? Stop feeling sorry for yourself when it goes wrong, he writes. Life's ambushes are coming for all of us. Expect them, be ready for them, and then overcome them and get off the X and don't quit. How many know that many people start a marathon, but not very many finish the marathon, right? The Christian race is not a sprint. It's not a dash. It's a race of endurance that holds out until the end. That's what Virginia did. She's home. Solomon said, the end of a matter is better than the beginning. In other words, what good is it to start a race if you don't finish? Make up your mind you're going to finish the course. It's not important how fast you run. It's important that you finish. The Greeks have a race called the torch race. And they light a torch and run a marathon with this torch. And when you ran that race, your torch had to remain lit. If your torch was not lit, you could not qualify to win. So it's not how fast you run the race. It's that you run the race and you still keep your fire lit, baby. You still are on fire for God. I see so many people, in this race you get beat up. Yes, in this race you get wounded. Yes, in this race you take hits and setbacks. Yes, but we make comebacks. I'm tired of watching Christians run this race and then they look like it. I mean, it's like, they don't want to do anything. I put in my time. I'm not going to do any more. No, we're going to finish this race on fire with the torch lit, running across that line like Paul did. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'm running right into the arms of God. If you love the Lord, but you lost your fire, it can happen to anybody. Then you need to get back to prayer. You need to get back to the Word. You need to get back with fellowship with the saints. You've got to let go of the hurts of the past and change the attitude and change your words, and saying what's coming out of your mouth are expressions of faith. Well, Pastor, the Christian life is so hard. Let me tell you, everybody understands that. We all have to endure that. But maybe most of us have even said that. But watch this. That devil is lying to you. And what he's attempting to do to you is get you to go to your past life. And when you start thinking, well, this is too rough, it's too hard, it's too taxing, when you start saying that, let me tell you, you're starting to believe the lies of the adversary, because what the devil's attempting to do is get you to go back to your addictions, to go back to your old ways. There's nothing back there but death and destruction. You've come too far to turn back now. You've cried too many tears. You've got too much invested. How foolish to think you can go back to living in your past and be happy again. How foolish to think you can go back to an old lifestyle and still have some joy in your life. The devil is a liar. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. The going can get rough, but God built us to be overcomers. God made us to conquer. He anointed you to defeat devils, to step on them, to walk over them. He anointed you to be a victor. He anointed you to live in health. You're anointed and highly favored. So if you look at the context of when they were getting ready to enter into the promised land, and the spies had gone out and checked it out, and you do the math, 5 out of 6 people who saw the promised land didn't get to go in because they wouldn't change their attitude and trust the God who by his mighty hand had delivered them out of the hands of the Pharaoh and drowned his entire army in the Red Sea. The challenge is to have a good attitude when there's a battle. Not to get grumpy about it. To be able to say in the middle of trouble, God's going to work it out for me. He'll turn it around. You're not going to be broke forever. Speak faith even when you don't feel it. This is a biblical principle. It's not a matter of my emotions. Change the attitude. Turn that attitude toward God. You might be under pressure. This is a pressure-packed day we live in. What the devil attempts to do is put all that pressure on you so you'll do what? Quit. It's crazy to think about giving up. Quitting now? Just slap yourself in the face because the devil's trying to get you to quit and say, snap out of this thing because your future depends on this. And when the devil attacks you, don't you take it lying down. Fight back. Fight back through prayer. Fight back through the Word of God that you've memorized and hidden in your heart. So when you make an expression, it's right back at God with his Word rather than out of your old nature of complaint. Fight back with your giving. Fight back by forgiving people who hurt you and let go of the past. And open your mouth and say, devil, you may have knocked me down, but you will never defeat me. I'm going to have the greatest comeback after that setback I've ever had in my life. Joseph endured 7 major setbacks in his life and had the greatest comeback. His family, they would have never imagined when they dumped him in that pit and sold him as a slave that one day it would be at his hand that their lives would be spared. Amen? You may be down, but you're not out. Hey, devil, I'm a fighter. I'm a survivor. Are there any survivors in this room today? I don't know why God hasn't answered our prayers immediately at times, but we're still trusting him. You don't know why God hasn't turned it around just yet, because he's working all things. It's not just about my request, but my family, my friends, children, and everybody else that's going to get affected by what God's answer is in my life at this particular moment. So he waits until he's put all the pieces where he wants them. Then he grants our request. Your answer may be delayed, but it cannot be denied. You're trusting him. The money may not have arrived just yet, but you're trusting him. You may be in the middle of a hard place today, but you're still trusting him. Your breakthrough is on the way. You're going through hell and high water, but your breakthrough is on the way. Just think of yourself like a Pepto-Bismol bottle. All the good stuff's at the bottom, and they tell you before you take any, shake the bottle. Okay? Shake it. Trying to get all the good to rise to the top. You remember the story of Job. None of us have ever been through what that man's endured. And then he stands right there before his Creator and says, even if you slay me, I will still trust you. Wow. Why don't you stand and give God some thanksgiving here today? Amen.